The demise or decline of the bobwhite quail population across its range has been called America's greatest conservation tragedy. And the man who spends every working day trying to fix this problem is Dale Rollins, director of the Rolling Plains Quail Research Foundation. Welcome to the Outpost, Dale.
Well, appreciate it. I'm looking forward to visiting with you.
Good. Well, Earth Day 2015 has some special significance for you guys this year. And tell me about Operation Transfusion.
Okay. Operation Transfusion means, can we take wild trapped birds from an area where birds are still, bobwhites and blue quail, are still doing fairly well, and move them further east to where those populations are either at very low levels or have blinked out over the last 15 years. The habitat looks pretty good. Something says there's no quail out there. So we're wanting to know if we can jumpstart those populations, and that's what we call Operation Transfusion.
Very nice. Now, what does that entail? Where are you putting them, and how are you catching them?
Well, we're working right now. In 2015, we'll be working on three new sites. One will be the Matador Wildlife Management Area north of Paducah, Texas. We've released 97 blue quail up there. And then we're also working on some sites near Breckenridge, Texas, and near Weatherford, Texas, to see if we can jumpstart populations of bobwhites there. We catch the birds with quail traps. We have special permits to do this through Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. And we have a network of cooperating ranchers that we've developed over the years that allow us to come in. I'll send a team of two people out there. They will be on some pre-baited sites, and we'll hopefully catch 30 to 50 quail on a particular ranch. Move those quail immediately, ferry them over to the particular site in question. Half of them we put in a surrogator. We say we sequester those birds for 30 days. And we're testing the efficiency of what we call a hard release, where we just take the birds and dump them out, versus a soft release, where we put them in these surrogator containment systems, provide feed for them for 30 days, and then let them out. We hope that acclimates the birds better and protects them from their various enemies during that first month.
I've always heard that blue quail, and maybe it's just a wives' tale, or maybe it's my experience, that blue quail are usually found in the western part of Texas and New Mexico and Arizona. Is that the case? And if so, what if you move them east? Does that change anything about their population?
Well, first of all, you need to be a student of history. And as former Okie, I'll always cite former Governor George Nye, who said, we study the past and apply it to the present that we might affect the future. Mm-hmm. And after the drought of the 50s, there were blue quail as far northeast as El Reno, Oklahoma. Now, I was raised in the southwest corner of Oklahoma near the little town of Hollis, and we used to have lots of blue quail down there. And the blue quail essentially vanished in about 1988. And that's why I have on my radar, I have the question about disease in quail populations, because something happened mysteriously to those blue quail. They disappeared and they really haven't come back. There might be some token populations. But historically, they were in, if you had mesquite and old rough looking breaky ground, chances are before 1988, you probably had blue quail on it. So we're moving back into some of the areas along the eastern edge of the blue quail's historic distribution and see if we can jumpstart those.
So you're trying to determine whether or not if that something about being farther east keeps them from growing.
Well, we know that blue quail are a Chihuahuan desert species, and mm-hmm. typically you get your maximum populations out around the Pecos River in Texas and on out into far west Texas. But again, there were some incredible blue quail numbers during the 60s and 70s over much of southwestern Oklahoma and the Oklahoma Panhandle. Once you get too far east, and east of those points, roughly east of the 100th meridian, the country gets the rainfall gets higher, the country gets better, and it becomes more bobwhite country than it does blue quail country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hunted blue quail once upon a time, and I remember they ran like crazy. Didn't fly a lot, but they ran like crazy.
Well, blue quail have a bad reputation, but I hunted them as a kid and still enjoy hunting blue quail. They are a product of their environment. They live in a hardscrabble country, and so they've learned to cope and adapt and so forth. But if you can get blue quail where you've got some grass cover, get them broke up, scattered out a little bit, or follow a 4-inch fresh snow, you can have some incredible dog work on blue quail.
Very nice. We're all pulling for you on that one, Dale. Tell me the latest on what's happening with the idiopathological decline of bobwhite quail. I know you had lots of people, lots of experts, including yourself, working on it. What's the latest research?
Well, the latest work on this, and the term idiopathic is medical jargon for the doctor don't know, and so that's why we basically held our hands up and said,
"I love that. I love that word, though. I'm gonna use it again later on today."
And in 2010, for example, we had good weather conditions, but our quail didn't respond. And we got we were curious. I had a chance. My board of directors at the Research Foundation said, "Go for it." And so I assembled a team of scientists from Texas Tech, Texas A&M, Texas A&M Kingsville, and we came together and came up with 8 different research efforts. Initially, we looked at these across 25 different sites in Texas and 10 in western Oklahoma. We've looked at over 2,200 quail during that time. The two things that have got our antennae up the highest right now are these eye worms that we're finding in about 60-70% of the quail, and then the cecal worms, a gut worm that the quail have. And we've known they've always had the gut worms, but for whatever reason, we think we're seeing abnormally high parasitism loads. And so the latest thing is one of the principal investigators up at Texas Tech University is working towards a medicated feed. And can we develop a feed and dose these birds in the wild and control their eye worms and cecal worms? And then, if we can do that, does it have a meaningful population response associated with it? Can we take the lows out of the lows?
Mm-hmm. Man, that's fascinating. That's fascinating. If you can pull that off, that's a major research advancement.
Well, we're following the example or the analogy that Dr. Peter Hudson and his associates found in the United Kingdom dealing with redgrass. They've studied redgrass for over 200 years on some of those moors, plantations, as we'd call them. And what they found was that the grouse that were heavily parasitized were more vulnerable to their predators, red fox in this case, and just had lower overall fitness. And if they developed a medicated grit that the grouse would consume, and then they controlled the internal parasites. And as a result of doing that, they took the low out of the cycle of the grouse population. So we hold that up as an example and say, could there be an analogy here in the rolling plains of Texas and Oklahoma? And that's what is giving us hope right now.
That's great. Well, we're going to keep up with you. We follow the work of the Rolling Plains Quail Research Foundation. Great newsletter. You've got an all-star working with you now, and our buddy Russell Graves, who can't do anything. He can't photo. He was like a world-class photographer, world-class writer, hunter, fisherman. I mean, he makes the rest of us feel like we don't know what we're doing.
Well, we're pleased to have Russell as part of our team now. We think we've got a good team. And my secret, whatever success I've had, my secret has always been what I call hunting with good dogs. Always hunt with good dogs. Surround yourself with good people and good things will happen. So that's what we think we're trying to do anyway.
Well, you got a good one in him. Tell us, we'll wrap this up, but how can somebody get involved with the work of the Rolling Plains Foundation?
Well, one of the things you'll want to do is go to our website, quailresearch.org, and subscribe to the eQuail newsletter. It's free. It comes out every month. And that'll keep you alerted to the things that we're doing. And if we've got a field day coming up, for example, at our quail research ranch there east of Snyder, Texas, we have a field day on the last Friday of September. We're going to be having various educational events out there. And then as my appointment as an extension wildlife specialist for Texas AgriLife Extension Service, I'm a quail specialist too. And so I have quail appreciation days at various locations across West Texas. Those are one-day workshops. And then don't forget our Bob White Brigade Wildlife Leadership Camps. Send us your best and your brightest, and you'll be proud of the product you get in return.
That's great. Dale Rollins, thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll look forward to keeping up with you.
Okay. Holler anytime.
Will do.
All right.
Bye-bye.